was a very accidental head rush.
You'll be all right over there.
I think I'm going
to
make it.
You were like headbanging to the intro music.
Made myself a little dizzy.
It's all right.
You know you're old when.
I have a fresh update, Michelle. Hello, Michelle.
Hello, Megan. Hello, friends who have joined us here on Prosecco Theory once again.
Guess who's back?
Back again.
Mm-hmm. On a prior episode, we were talking about a gent who was very poor at the messaging on Tinder. Mm-hmm. He had said something like, I'm not very good at checking this app. That's probably why I'm single. And you said you should say that tracks.
Right.
So I did. And he replied and said, can I give you my number so we can text? And he said, I'm better there. I said, sure.
A lot of people say that. I think it's an excuse, kind of.
Yeah, I guess, but I do think people tend to like respond to texts faster than,
sure,
especially if they don't have their notifications on, that they have messages on the app.
Yeah, but if you're actively on a dating app and you don't have the notifications on, you're doing it wrong.
Maybe some people, like, it's sensitive because they have kids that play with their phone or whatever.
Or they're cheating on someone.
Or that. Mm-hmm. Anywho, so I was like, sure, whatever. So he sends me his number. I was busy, so it took me like, I don't know,
four days.
I don't know, something like that. I don't owe these people anything.
No.
I don't have to respond to them.
Literally nothing.
The funny thing was, I did shoot him a text, and I was like, oh, hey, this is Megan from Tinder. And then right after I shot him the text, I found out from some others that I know that are on the apps that he apparently has a reputation.
He's a giant walking red flag, as it turns out.
He's like a huge player, and apparently he's asked a lot of people for money.
Someone said he was hobosexual, which, if we haven't defined that for you before, means he's just looking for a place to stay.
Right. It's interesting because his profile makes him look like he's like super professional.
Of course it does.
Yeah.
Putting that best foot forward.
So the funny thing is like he is literally right now actively texting me, and I'm like, because I found out this information about
it. Right
him,
after.
So just gonna figure out how to walk that one back.
Well, shit.
But hey, props to those in the dating community. Keep you informed.
Yeah, sticking up for each other.
And I was saying to Michelle that I should beat him to the punch.
Yes,
and
do it.
Ask him for some money right out of the gate.
How can we word that?
So I know we just met and all, but I'm in a real tight spot right now.
I actually suggested that you use the language sticky pickle.
Yeah.
I know you don't like gross. It, but it makes me laugh.
That's gross. So I'll think of something. I mean, I will intentionally fuck with bots,
which
I was also enjoying doing earlier.
Yeah.
I just kept sending GIFs to this bot, and it kept responding with things like,
good evening.
How are you tonight? What are you looking for on here? And I'm like sending them pictures of robots dancing.
And Elmo. Stuff.
Yeah. You know, I don't know that I necessarily want to like fuck with this guy, but I definitely need to walk it back and be like, never mind.
Yeah. Like, I know I just messaged you and everything, but
I'll just scare him off.
I'm done.
I'll tell him I'm pregnant. And I have like 6 kids and
sounds like he might have that as well.
Well, right. Word on the street is, that's not what our episode's about today.
No, but I did want to say, speaking of not
homosexuals.
No, thank God. No. Speaking of not owing anybody your time or communication or whatever on these apps.
Strangers, you mean?
Yeah. Literally. So I'm chatting with a new fella. Mm-hmm. And have a date tomorrow. And
you're going to a fabulous restaurant.
That's what I hear. I've been wanting to go.
Me and Alicia and Justine ate there 2 weekends ago. It was the first time I'd ever been there. It was so good.
I'm looking forward to a nice, dangerous, strong margarita.
Dangerous margaritas.
Yep. Anyway, he is a very good communicator. It's more than just the small talk. Hey, ma. Like your dude.
Yeah.
But it, you know, it's more than just like, how's your day?
Yeah.
And that back and forth. And a couple times now, he's very busy and he's been like, I'm really sorry for slow replies. I've got this, this, and this going on. I might need to hit you up tomorrow. Da, da, da. And I really appreciate how candid he's being with like, I'm busy. But at the same time, I'm like, you owe me nothing, man. And so I literally said a couple nights ago, no worries. I am but a stranger on the internet.
Yeah.
Go and live your life.
That is the total appropriate response. And to me, that is attractive because
absolutely,
he clearly has his own shit going on in his life.
And is communicative about it.
Yeah, he's got established friendships, work stuff. He's got things going on. And, you know, I seem to somehow end up dating people that really don't have a lot of those things going on. And they want me to carry that for them.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, ugh. It's too much.
Sometimes you come home and they're just waiting in your driveway again.
We've alluded to that many times.
I think we've told the story.
I guess maybe on our pet peeves episode.
Yeah.
But it wasn't just him.
No, I know.
Multiple people. I hate it when I come home and a guy is just sitting there waiting for me in my driveway. Like, hi, waiting for you. You want to cook me dinner?
Yeah.
You want to entertain me?
Feed me now? Unless you are waiting there to literally bring that tongue out and do things for me, then...
Well, maybe that would come later. I don't know. It's just like after a long day, you know? It's like, fucking give me a minute. Can I just have a minute?
It's like another kid.
Yeah. I don't like needy guys.
No.
Anyway.
Speaking of kids that you have to take care of, we were sitting at happy hour tonight trying to figure out what the fuck to talk about.
We were at the Westie, which has Ski ball
and pinball.
Ski ball is
Megan's jam.
It's a thing for me.
Megan's really good at ski ball, actually.
Oh, hang on.
Uh-oh.
Oh, this guy says he's working, making that money.
Oh, good. Now he can afford to pay for your sticky pickle.
What? Oh, my God. I'm going to ask him what he is doing for work. This is live recording of me messaging with a person I am no longer interested in all. Okay.
We will report back when he responds.
I even told Michelle, we're very random tonight. Maybe I'm just very random, that I was trying to figure out a way I could get a ski ball machine in my basement. And she was like, I really don't think you have the room. And I had concede that I do not, but it was a momentary fantasy.
It would be really fun, but I'm sorry that you have to give up on your dream that you've had for 5 minutes.
Oh, well. Life goes on.
Anywho, we were trying to figure out what the hell to talk about. And given that this was, you know, an hour ago, went through several topics that I was like, that's a good one. I want to do research. That's a good one.
The good news is we came up with a lot of cool topics that were not good for tonight. But we did settle on one that was good for tonight.
And we'll see where else it goes. Who knows? Maybe there will be more live dating life as we go here. You brought up the idea of nesting. That has a lot of meanings.
I didn't know that it was called nesting in this specific
context,
context that we're talking about until you told me that because you dated somebody once who does nesting.
Yes. So, okay. Nesting can be, you know, when you first get married and you're like settling into a new home or when your kids leave for college and you're figuring out how to live in your home without them and, you know, you're doing all these things.
Or you're pregnant.
Or you're pregnant.
And you're like getting everything ready for the baby.
Right. You're nesting.
We've been through all those nests, except for the kids going
to college. Well, yeah. But this nesting is in reference to like living / custody situation after divorce with children.
Right.
Basically, it means that the kids stay in one place and the parents alternate living there with them when it's their turn and then going elsewhere when it's the other person's turn with the kids.
Right. So like if it's your days to be with the kids, then you're at the house.
Right.
And then if it's not your days, you are somewhere else.
You go to your apartment or wherever the fuck else you live.
Which, first of all, for the kids, I would say is actually fantastic because we'll get to the logistics and the realities of this in a minute. But, you know, having their same space and not being disrupted and like leaving stuff at one parent's house that you need or, you know, in the case of my kids, their dad's house is pretty far from ours. And so when they go there, they're further from school and
friends,
activities and stuff like that. So I think conceptually, it's a pretty brilliant idea for the kids.
My ex and I considered it when we were splitting, but it wasn't going to work for us.
Do you mind sharing the reasons that it didn't work for you?
If I'm being completely honest, I don't really remember.
Okay. Because I would think that one of them would be financially, that's a very expensive proposition.
Well, unless you're sharing the same second place also, which would be weird.
Yeah, I mean, I think even just sharing the family home, for lack of a better term, would be weird because you're both sleeping in the same bed, I guess, but just on different nights.
And then, like, I mean, we did before, so what's
the difference? You don't want to leave anything personal probably there. I guess it would kind of depend on your relationship, but you'd have to be careful, I think, about what you left there. It would have to almost be kept like a freaking Airbnb, you know?
Yeah.
At least the grown-up rooms.
I think when we initially talked about it, we talked about also sharing whatever other place there would be.
So you're not financially maintaining three residences?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But that part I don't think I would like at all. Maybe that's why we shut the whole thing down.
Yeah. I mean, in a perfect world, you would have your family home and then you would each have your own
like,
apartment or whatever.
Yeah. And this guy that I saw for a bit, that's what they did.
Yeah, I mean, and if I recall correctly, like, they had jobs that suited them financially.
But yeah, you have to be able to make that work with that many spots. You know, you have to both be able to fund your own space and still contribute to the communal space. And
which it's like, a lot in a city like Seattle. Oh, God. It's a lot just to pay for one house.
Yeah.
A lot of people struggle to pay for one house on dual income.
Mm-hmm.
You would have to be in a situation where somehow it was financially feasible. Like maybe you guys already had a rental property that was an sure. investment property, or maybe you have a roommate who's your brother or your sister or whatever that mm-hmm. you go stay with on your off days or something like that. But I do really like the concept of it. And I had never even heard of that yeah. when I got divorced, although I had full custody when I got divorced, so it wasn't an issue for us. But I think if you are established and you've got any kind of shared custody, it's pretty smart.
And a good personal relationship with that person.
Right.
Because if you were contentious at all, that would not work well.
And then you have to figure out, like, how do you split the bills, you know, mm-hmm. like the utilities and the mortgage yeah. and all that. So I think it would be pretty complicated. But if you could pull it off, mm-hmm. it's great for the kids.
Yeah. And this guy was not the first person I've met who does it. It definitely, I think, benefits the children, which ultimately is, I hope, the goal for anybody going through this.
Mm-hmm.
We just didn't. I mean, we thought about it, talked about it a little bit, and then it just wasn't for us.
Mm-hmm. Is there anything that you can think of that would be negative for the kids in that situation?
I mean, no matter what, their parents are splitting up. It's going to be confusing.
Yeah.
Like, why isn't mommy here? Why isn't daddy here? You know, right. why aren't you here together? There's still going to have to be those conversations.
Right.
I just think it would be less disruptive to right. not have to.
You're still getting tucked into bed at night by mom or dad.
Right. In the bed that you're used to. And, you know, I'm lucky my kids both adapted quickly and easily to mm-hmm. the change. I think they get the credit for that, frankly. Or they don't care that much. Who knows?
There should be like communities established for people that want to explore this nesting that are getting a divorce. You know how they have those micropod apartments mm-hmm. where there's four rooms that are like separate units and then there's like one shared kitchen?
Yeah.
They could do something like that specifically for people in this situation. But I could really see that turning into a scenario where everybody's like fucking each other.
I literally just flashed on when you're describing that
like a
setup.
Dating show.
Well, I just flashed on so stupid. Saved by the Bell, the college years.
What?
Not the fucking each other part. Although maybe that was happening. That. They had like in their dorm room.
Yeah.
And I'm using, you know, air quotes with dorm because no fucking dorm room ever looks like this.
Yeah.
It was basically that. It was the sleeping area apartments were separate. And then they had this communal like living room, kitchen, bathroom situation. But it was all nice because it's a fucking TV show. But that's what I was picturing when you were talking about it.
Divorced like, housing.
With Zach Morris. I'll take it.
Well, I know that there are people that have those apartments because like maybe they live far enough outside the city that during the week when yeah. they're working in the city, it makes sense for them to have a place
stay
to
nearby.
Crash. I went on a date with a guy once that lived in one of those places. It was the smallest room I'd ever seen. And somehow it had kind of a built-in twin bed situation in the wall.
Mm-hmm.
He had an area for a dresser slash desk situation.
Okay.
And then he had like some shelves on the wall, closet, and a really small bathroom. And that was it. And it was tiny. But he was like, well, all I ever really do is like sleep here.
Okay. So I want you to try to give me some square footage. My dining room is 100 square feet.
It was probably about that.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So small.
Wow.
But I guess if you just need a place to crash, I mean, that's minimalistic like living right there.
An adult with a twin bed? Sorry.
Well, we made it work.
I'm sure you did, but like you want to make that work long term.
I mean, why else would I have been going back there? Of course. To hang out in his tiny dining room sized apartment?
But you're not going to be like, I'm going to spend the nights here now, you know, like, no,
yeah,
no,
that's true. That would make dating kind of hard in that situation.
Yeah.
That is something worth exploring. Like if you're going to do the nesting situation, that's really good for your kids. But if that means that you're going to be staying with your parents or
right.
a roommate that you don't really know or whatever, how is that going to be for you in yeah. terms of functioning at well, your job, in your social life, dating?
Yes. And one of the people I know who did this, you know, when he first moved out, did stay with his parents for a couple months during his not kid time, but it was temporary. It was just sure. like until I figure out what's happening and get a place and whatever.
Okay.
And quite frankly, I certainly wouldn't have signed up for a date with someone who literally just moved out of their communal home with their spouse and is now living with his parents. Like, take a breath, sir,
If you're told.
Well, like, that's true.
Sometimes you don't know that kind of stuff.
Like this fucker that keeps texting you. Did he text back again?
I don't know. Hang on.
Oh, God. What'd he say?
I said, what do you do for work?
Oh, boy.
And he said, warehouse manager and an actor.
Oh, he's an actor.
Wait, how do you do both of those things?
Well, he's clearly not a very prolific actor. He needs another job.
I don't even know how to respond to this. I'll say, which one are you doing right now?
Most actors have other jobs because most actors are not making it big right away.
The one guy I dated who was an actor was also a plumber, remember?
I do remember. He is
an talk about him again.
Octogenarian who was on MASH.
Damn it. I said we didn't need to talk about it. Also, he was on Happy Days, which is pretty cool.
And MASH. And I lied about Octogenarian because he was definitely not in his 80s.
Yeah. That's at least he was 20 years too old. You know what? He was a zaddy. So.
Okay.
Anyway, let's not talk about mistakes of the past.
Was it a mistake? Nah.
Hmm.
You got your fence fixed.
It wasn't until it was. I did. And that toilet quit running in my basement.
And some other pipes dealt with, too.
God. Anyway, this is like Megan's train wreck dating life, disguised as an episode about nesting.
Sure.
Okay, well, it's the whole ridiculous cliche analogy of like putting on your oxygen mask before you put on anyone else's, though. Like,
yeah.
If you're setting up a great situation for the kids, but it's not going to be a great situation for you,
yeah,
then maybe that's not the right choice.
Right. Which I think is... Again, I don't fully remember the conversations we had around it, mm-hmm. but I think that's kind of what it came down to, was mm-hmm. like we couldn't make it really a long-term livable situation for us.
Uh-huh.
Not like our happiness is more important than the kids, but it is important.
If you were doing that and you guys, let's say, had one other property mm-hmm. that you like cycled into when it wasn't right. your turn, so you were sharing both places, one with the kids and one without. Do you think that it would be awkward, like, if you brought a date home?
Yes.
And you were like, oh, that's my ex-husband's dirty laundry over there.
Right.
I think there would have to definitely be, like, house rules. Oh. Right?
100%. Yeah.
Could you imagine, like, you're still fighting with your ex about not doing the dishes or taking out the garbage?
Oh, fucking kill me now. No, I cannot imagine.
I don't know. I think there might be something to the divorced housing idea, though.
Yeah.
People are interested in nesting.
Little communes.
Yeah.
Hold, please. There are children cooking Jesus dinner for us upstairs, Christ. And they're very loud. So, unrelated, kind of. I saw this thing the other day, and I meant to ask you about it anyway, but here we are talking about living situations and children and all this, so okay. Let's do it now. I saw a TikTok that was this woman, I don't know where she was from. She was not from the U.S.
Okay.
Talking about how unbelievable it was to her that parents started like charging their kids rent if they lived there after high school or after college or whatever. Like if the kid decides to stay, mm-hmm. you're going to fucking pay your way. You're going to pay rent to this household. You're, mm-hmm. you know, you're going to contribute in that way. And she was saying that it is so foreign to her as a concept because where she's from and in a lot of places around the world, it's such a generational family oriented situation
right.
that it's so normal for more than one generation to be in a household as adults that she couldn't even believe that Americans were charging their early 20s kids rent.
Mm-hmm.
Thoughts?
I do think that it can kind of be a cultural thing. The house that I rented before this house I'm living in now, one of my neighbors, I think they were Korean. Sometimes, you know, we would do like fire pits in the driveway. And one night their son, who was
their dog hated us.
Yeah. Well, we hated their dog. So yeah. Real yappy. One night we're doing a fire pit and he came out and, you know, just hung out and was chatting with us. And he was like in his mid-20s and
yeah.
he and his fiance lived there. And he was telling me that they actually wanted to move out and get their own place and do their own thing. But he was feeling very awkward about it because he was like, well, it's kind of disrespectful. my parents, you know, they're at an age where they could use the help, both financially and physically. And my dad doesn't really speak a lot of English. And, you know, so he was basically like, we want to move out and be on our own and do our own thing. Mm-hmm. But, you know, they'll be really upset. And that's just not culturally what we should be doing. So I guess I could see where somebody would be surprised by that if that's not the norm. But I also think there's, at least in the US, where that isn't so much the norm, a failure to launch type issue where if you always have that ability to fall back on living with mom and dad rent free, then how are you going to be motivated to like get your shit together and be an adult and live your own life? I mean, I understand situations happen in life where like people get laid off or people are getting divorced or whatever. And like they need some time to pull their lives together. And so then they
come home
and stay. And I can see parents not charging rent. But if you're just not motivated because you just want to like stay home and play video games and sleep in and whatever, then like, yeah, I think that charging rent to live there when you're totally able-bodied and could perfectly easily like go out and try to find a job and be an adult, I think that's fair.
So situational for you.
Yeah. What do you think?
I think I agree with that. You know, I'm picturing Cartman in his basement with the beefcake. And he's like, Mom, bring me more cheesy poofs, you know. Or fucking, what movie is it when Will Ferrell's like, Mom.
Oh, Old School.
It's Old School. Yeah. We wanted lasagna or whatever the fuck he says. Yeah.
Yeah.
That situation, yes. Mm-hmm. But I also understand that you're supposed to want to help take care of your people. As long as it's not a situation where, you know, you're being totally taken advantage of as a generous parent with a room for them to stay in your house or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, say your kid's going to school or getting started in their career or whatever. I mean, I personally didn't want to stay living at my parents' house. A lot of kids don't. Or certainly when we were that age, most kids wanted to like get free, you know?
So, yeah, an independence freedom thing.
Yeah.
Because as long as you're living in your parents' house, then to be respectful, you have to live by their house rules. And maybe when you become an adult, it's not up to them like when you come home at night or whatever, but bringing people home and the stuff that you do recreationally in their house, you know, they have a say over that. So,
as they should.
Speaking of the term failure to launch, have you seen that movie with Sarah Jessica Parker?
A long time ago.
It's pretty funny, actually.
Yeah. Isn't she like paid to help someone get out of his parents' house?
Well, her whole job, her career is that she gets hired by parents who want their kids that are adults to move out.
Yeah.
That haven't like successfully made that leap. It's a rom-com. So, you know, of course, you can guess what happens.
Of course.
She's paid to get this guy out of his parents' house and then they end up falling in love.
Oh, so unpredictable.
Right.
You know, it's a really common thing to talk about when you're getting to know somebody and dating. Mm-hmm. Like, do you want to stay in this town? Do you want to travel? Do you want to move somewhere else? Where do you see yourself? Like figuring out kind of what your future looks like or what you want your future to look like.
It's your long-term plan.
Yeah. And I have found myself unable to answer it and almost unable to really think about it.
Why do you think that is?
My son. Because I don't know. I just don't know what future holds for him.
Right.
He's an incredibly smart, capable person. Who has a lot of time still to grow up. And he may very well be completely able to live on his own, do all his own things, hold a job, have a completely, quote, normal life.
Sure.
Right. But I'm scared to count on that.
Right.
You know.
I think that that is wise to remain flexible because you don't know what level of support he's going to need.
Right. And quite frankly, even if he is on his own and able to do whatever, I'm not sure I'll go too far.
Yeah, I can see that.
I'll probably stay here.
But I mean, you kind of want to though, right? I mean, you've expressed in the past that one of the reasons that you've never left Seattle is because you like your bubble here.
But I like my bubble because I like my people. Mm-hmm. So if my people like spread out after all the kids are grown, then it would be a lot easier for me to see myself leaving.
Mm-hmm. Tying these two things together, what happens when your kids get older and things like that, and then being a divorced parent with kids, Another thing I think is interesting is when you do get divorced, then what happens with your community? And a lot of your community is just naturally like parents of kids that go to your kid's school.
Good thing I really like you.
Or in activities with them, you know, I think that there tends to be, even if it's unintentional sometimes, where the community aligns more with one parent or the other.
Yeah.
Or sometimes it happens, but without any ill will towards the other parent. It's like we've had friends who have gotten divorced and we've stayed close and in touch with that person because they were our friend, you know, and they continue to be our friend. But then there have been situations where their ex-husband feels alienated or like they're not part of the group anymore. And it's like, well, we're not intentionally doing that. We're just maintaining a friendship with this person who was our friend before this happened and continues to be after.
I understand that suddenly feeling like you're losing people, you're losing some of that community. I get that. And it needs to be a two-way street. Like if that person isn't reaching out and also trying to maintain that relationship, then sorry.
Sometimes I think for people when you're at, say, an event or something, a school event or whatever, they feel awkward. They don't know how to act.
Sure.
Because they know that you are still continuing to spend time and talk with their ex. And most of the time people, you know, when they get divorced, there's some negativity and fighting and stuff like that.
Probably.
And so they're just not sure how to act because they're not sure, like, are you taking a side? Are you still going to be friendly towards me? Like, it's just uncomfortably awkward. And
I totally get that. I just also really think that if those relationships were important to that person, then they should also be trying to maintain them. And I think women are a lot better at that than men are, typically. And so often, I think what happens is that the women keep up relationships and the men feel like everybody abandoned them. I have seen that personally. Mm-hmm. And you just can't expect everyone else to do all the work of that friendship.
I wonder if the concept of nesting would be helpful in that regard, because if you're still in the same home and the same community and your kids are like having friends over or, you know, going to the same school and
maybe
take them on your days and stuff, then maybe there's still just as much exposure or more so, I guess, exposure to both parents than there would have been otherwise. And so maybe it would help.
Certainly possible. Yeah. I also think that in a lot of marriages and in a lot of co-parenting situations, one parent is much more likely to do all of the planning and make things happen for the kids and take them to the things and, you know, and so it just really depends on participation from everyone.
So here's a new question.
Okay.
I went out on a few dates once with a guy who had been divorced for like 4 to 6 months, I think it was. He disclosed to me on date number two that his ex-wife had just purchased the home next door.
Oh.
Because he like stayed in the house and then, you know, she was figuring out what she was going to do. And on one hand, it was fantastic for the kids.
Yeah.
Because mom and dad lived next door to each other. But I felt a little uncomfortable.
Yeah.
I was like, if we continue dating, she's going to see whenever I'm coming and going and when we're spending time together. And then also, what if the kids are at her house and I'm over at your house and they decide to pop over for something?
Right.
Like, okay, I see how that's good for you, but I feel awkward about it.
Yeah. Is the question in there, how would I feel about that?
Yeah.
Okay. Like,
what do you think about that?
Same, I think. I mean, I'm not going to lie. When my ex moved out, and there was a house for rent a couple blocks from me on the same street, but a couple blocks away. I was like, please fucking get that
same
house.
Same neighborhood is great.
Get that.
Right next door, though?
Yeah.
That's
like,
very
you gotta
close.
Make sure you close the windows when things are happening.
Lock the doors.
Right. Yeah.
Daddy, whose car was at your house?
Whose car is at your house every time we're gone? I think I would feel uncomfortable with that, too.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if it was a new situation.
Yeah.
It's just a little too close to home. Literally.
I'm thinking of all these things now. When one of our friends and her husband split and she moved out, she bought a new house. Fortunately, they were in a financial position to do that where they could each have their own house. But then she had the expense of furnishing and decorating a new house. So then it was, who's financially responsible for that? You know, mm-hmm. like, is it fair for it to all be on her? Or should it be a joint expense?
Yeah.
Because, you know, he is getting to keep their house with all their existing furnishings and yeah. everything. So all that kind of stuff gets so sticky.
That was us. I mean, my ex moved out. He didn't want the house. We were both very happy with our arrangement.
The assets that you received.
Yeah. And so, yeah, he had to furnish a new place. And I...
But he got another significant asset. He got your business. So it's not like
True.
You got the house and
he got nothing. Nothing. Right. Yeah. But I will say that I've had mixed feelings about that because overall, I'm very happy with the fact that I got to stay in the house and keep everything. And, you know, I've changed some stuff over time, gotten new furniture and whatever. I think that that's a benefit for sure. I also had a little bit of jealousy mm-hmm. about him getting to start fresh.
Yeah.
Not that I would have been able to afford it myself, so glad it wasn't me. But there definitely was a little bit of like, you get to start this new life and I'm living in our old life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it was just a little harder to kind of settle myself in and feel like it was my space.
I could see that because you probably feel like you're watching him move on with this fresh new start.
Build a new life. You. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and I was too. It just... I had to do it in the same space that we had been in and had our entire relationship in, basically. Right. And I mean, I've been in that house for 20 years this summer, which is insane.
And you also have some insane equity in it.
Well, thank God, because I've been there 20 years. God, we were just talking about this at happy hour, how I don't feel old enough for things to be true. I don't feel old enough to have a teenager. I don't feel old enough to have owned a bar for 12 years.
It was all triggered by Jenny from the Block.
Yeah.
And she, oh God. Someone was sampling it. And she's like, this song isn't old enough for someone to sample it. And I'm like, I don't know. I think it's close to 20 years.
I said it wasn't even 20 years old. And then we looked it up and it was 2002. I was like,
if it's not, it's close. And oh, sure fuck. Enough, yeah.
I don't feel adult enough to have any of that be true. I was just saying to you, I literally sometimes am like, I need an adult to help me with this. And then I'm like, oh, fuck, that's me. I'm the adult and I don't know what to do.
I think that there's a lot of people who, no matter how old they are, never truly feel grown up or like they're the adult. Like, oh, I'm already here. Like, I keep waiting for it to happen.
Right.
I keep waiting for myself to hit right. like full on adulthood.
Well, and you know how your definition of old has changed over the years?
Yeah.
Like when you're 10, you think that 20 is old. And when you're 20, you think that 35 is ancient. And when you're 35, you think that 55 is ancient. And, you know,
I just think when I was younger that I thought that when you became an adult, it meant that you
had figured things out.
Lost a lot of your vulnerabilities. And the reality is that an adult human is still a very vulnerable person. You know?
We are squishy creatures who are full of things that can leak out at any moment.
But I think that that's because when I was a kid, you know, I looked at my parents and I saw them as pretty stable people in terms of how their lives went. And I was like, okay, well, they're, I don't want to say like solid, but now, as an adult, I know that they were a lot more vulnerable than I ever knew. And maybe that's because they shared some things with me and not others. But how much do you share?
That's the thing. Okay. Can I ask you about that? Because do you think, knowing where you and I both kind of stand on that vulnerability scale, like mm-hmm. obviously I'm the mushy puddle that's going to let everybody see what's happening all the time. And you have a little bit harder shell than mm-hmm. I do. I would say that I think you do a good job with your kids of obviously being strong and solid, but also being vulnerable enough to like let them know when something's hard or talk to them about emotions or shit that's going on. Do you mm-hmm. think that if you had more of that window into your parents' humanity in that way, that you would have felt more prepared to not lose all that vulnerability as an adult? Do you know what I'm saying? Mm.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. It's a good question. If I can paraphrase mm-hmm. what you were saying, is that you're
Please
saying,
do.
Do you think that I would be more open to being a more vulnerable person if they
had you been shown that,
like demonstrated that adults are vulnerable people to me?
Yeah. And would you have been less surprised by the fact that you're an adult now, but you don't have it all figured out and you are still vulnerable, you know?
Yeah, I think that it plays into it for sure. When I was a kid, I felt pretty secure and sure. safe because I thought that they were so impenetrable, I guess.
Mm.
And I want my kids to feel secure and safe, like I got it all handled, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But I also think that there could have been more like feelings and emotions shown.
Like hugging.
Yeah. So I try to be a little bit more that way with my kids than it was in my house growing up.
Yeah, I think you strike a good balance.
I could probably do more, but I also Yeah, I mean, I also feel like it's part of my job to make sure that my kids are not worried. You know, I don't want them to worry about their safety or protection or security or anything like that. Like, I want them to look at me and feel like, oh, she's got this, you know, even if I'm stressed about something. Like, I'll tell them, like, oh, I had such a tough day at work.
Yeah.
Or I'll share little things with them. But I don't ever want them to think that their fundamental needs are in jeopardy because I'm a basket case or something.
Yeah, that makes sense. I certainly don't think your kids are ever going to have that fear because you definitely do have shit handled and they know that.
But that's years of them watching me handle my shit.
Right.
You know,
right.
Like if I was like falling apart once a week or something, then I don't know how secure they would feel.
Yeah. I mean, like everything else, this is, I think, a spectrum. There's nuance here that I think is important because it's really fucking crucial that kids see grownups emoting and fucking up and apologizing for it, right? Mm-hmm. We've talked about that before.
I just did that the other day. I said to my daughter, I think I snapped at her about handing me the milk or something. And then I was like, I wasn't really upset about you handing me that milk. I'm just on my period. And she's like, oh, okay. But I was like explaining, you know, like, hey, that's why I use such a bitchy tone.
Yeah. I'm feeling some kind of way.
Right.
I took it out on you. I shouldn't have. I'm sorry. Yeah. I think both of those things are really important. Yes. Have a stable, secure home where they feel like they can relax and not have to stress and not have to take care of you.
Shouldn't have to worry about adult things.
Right. But also recognize that emotions are adult things so that when they get them as an adult, they don't feel weird about it.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I think right.
This episode took a turn.
Yeah. It's basically like an episode about adulting.
Which I still maintain is bullshit. I don't want to do it anymore. I'm all done adulting. I want to be a mermaid.
I want to be a mermaid. Well, when you figure out how to do that, let me know.
Sure. I'll get right on that. I bet TikTok will tell me.
I'm sure.
I could at least buy a mermaid tail.
My kids have these blankets that they got a long time ago for Christmas one year, and they're mermaid tail blankets.
Yeah.
They do keep your legs warm.
Yeah.
But you just like stick both your legs in them, and then they have like a little fin at the end.
I know. I need to go find one. Well, as long as I don't need to get up and go anywhere.
Yeah.
Because hopping, not so good. I'd probably pee my pants and hurt my back because I'm, as it turns out, old.
Old's a mindset in some ways. In other ways,
absolutely.
Other ways, your body tells you how old you are.
Truly. Yeah. I genuinely do not feel old. I feel like it's ridiculous that someone let me take kids home and gave me a house. Like, what? I don't understand. You let me drive a car and have a house and I'm raising people? Mm-hmm. Like humans?
Mm-hmm.
I don't get it.
I know. It's weird. You look around and think, how did I get here? And how have I been doing this so long? And how are these kids still alive?
Yeah. I genuinely can't keep a fucking plant alive, but somehow my kids are still alive.
I definitely can't keep a plant alive.
No.
No, I think in the grand scheme of things, we're doing pretty good with our kids. There's definitely shit that I read and see all the time about kids that are neglected and abandoned and abused. And it's just really fucking scary that anyone can have a kid.
Yeah.
And then the people that are like really deserving and really want kids really bad and can really take care of them sometimes aren't able to have kids. It's so fucked up.
Yeah. This is a dangerous path for me to go down right now because I can do a whole lot of ranting about the ways that we don't take care of kids. And it's all the fucking family values people that don't take care of the kids. So I'm going to save everybody from that rant and not. And instead,
I think that's wise.
I think your daughter's making us dinner and we should probably go eat it.
I know.
Isn't that nice? We've been talking about kids this whole time. She's been up there making us dinner.
My 12-year-old daughter is making us a lovely meal.
I'm very excited.
All right. Sounds good to me.
Okay.
You want to do all the things?
Wait, hold on. Before we do this,
Did
he text back? Is he acting or working in the warehouse? We need to know.
His lunch break must be over because he hasn't responded.
Oh, okay.
I'm devastated.
I think he's probably texting you that from someone else's couch right now.
Whatever.
Anywho.
Not invested.
No, absolutely not. Folks, thank you so much for joining us again. It's really phenomenal. I think about it sometimes, and it blows my mind that this is, I believe, episode 138. We've been doing this for almost 3 years.
I know. That's gone fast. Feels like we just started doing this.
I mean, time means nothing. I don't understand it, clearly. I don't know how. It's 2023 and I'm turning 44 in 2 days. I don't
That's
get
right.
it.
That's right. Michelle's birthday is coming up. It'll be over by the time this episode comes
that
out.
That is correct.
Michelle will be 44 when this episode comes out.
That's right. I decided that because I didn't know what a golden birthday was when I was to have my golden birthday.
You know what a golden shower is?
Yes, and I will not be asking for one of those.
Okay, just checking.
But thank you. Are you offering?
No.
Okay.
Just wondering.
Just checking.
Just wondering if you're going to go big on your wish list.
No, I'm good. I'm good. Yeah, so if you don't know, a golden birthday is like the date, number date of your birthday. You turn that age. That's your golden birthday. So like if your birthday is on the 25th, when you turn 25, it's your golden birthday.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that that was a thing when I turned 22.
Same. I didn't know that was a thing when I turned 19 either.
Right. So you've already missed your double golden birthday, but I am about to hit my double golden birthday. And so that's what's happening. I'm very excited about it.
I'm picturing like two coins spinning like in a Mario game or something.
Hell yeah. Oh God, my son would be very excited to hear you say that. Anyway, yes, I'm old and I'm still having fun and that's great. And we are appreciative of you being here listening for 3 years almost. And you can find us online at prosecotheory.com and on Instagram at prosecotheory. You can send us an email at cheers@prosecotheory.com. You can find our merch, tpublic.com. And you can go to patreon.com/prosecotheory and join our subscriber list there and join the party. That's all I got. Megan's about to open some chocolates and
I'm opening some Cadbury mini eggs.
That's a problem.
Let's get the fuck out of here.
Before you put the chocolate in your mouth, let's cheers it up.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Cheers.